Doing a good heart is whatever, I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, the UK's new laws cracking down on environmental protesters are draconian, according to the UN special reporter Michel Frost. Frost said he is concerned about the treatment of peaceful protesters. One such protester is German-born Markus Decker. He's serving a 40-month sentence for participating in a Just Stop Oil protest, and he may be deported by the Home Office. Yesterday, a group of actors and musicians, including Sir Bob Geldof and Olivia Colman, called on the government to rescind the deportation order. Do Frost and Decker's supporters have a point? Or is it right that people who break the law face the consequences? I'm now joined by Tim Crosland, an ex-barrister, a climate campaigner, and a director of the charity Plan B, and Stephen Barrett, a barrister and writer for The Spectator. Tim, let's start with you. Tell us a bit about Markus Decker's case and your concerns about these laws.
Hi there, Ed. And just one thing, it's a 27-month prison sentence he's got, not a 14-month.
Wow, that is pretty serious. What did he actually do?
He climbed the Queen Elizabeth Bridge just over Dartford Crossing, and with a friend of his, Morgan Trolland, he suspended a banner saying Just Stop Oil. And the effect of that was delays to the traffic for a period of time because the police closed the bridge.
And so what do you, I mean, I know what you think about his sentence, but why don't you articulate it for us?
I'd like to put it in context just by going back to what was happening before the police crime sentencing and courts bill. So the most equivalent case, 2018, three men had climbed on top of lorries outside a fracking site. That had delayed the traffic for 100 hours. They were sent to prison for 15, 16 months by the judge at first instance. It emerged that that judge had family links to the fracking industry himself. It went to the Court of Appeal. The Court of Appeal quashed all those sentences as manifestly excessive. It said, in this country, we've got a proud tradition of tolerance for civil disobedience. Look at Parliament Square. Emmeline Pankhurst, Nelson Mandela, Gandhi. This has shaped our democracy. So this is vital to our democratic tradition.
I mean, I get the point you make, and 27 months does seem extreme, but people were really kind of tearing their hair out at some of the protesters, people in particular kind of sitting down in the street. And you say it delays traffic, but it also delayed emergency vehicles, people going to hospital appointments, people, sometimes women in labour. I mean, there had got to the point where protesters seemed to give themselves a kind of God-given right to completely disrupt everybody else's lives. I mean, we all care about the climate, but they were kind of self-appointed climate champions who then, I think, you know, it's arguable, put people's lives at risk. So don't you think it was time that the law needed to be strengthened?
So just to get in context, the 27 months and the 3 years that Morgan Trolland got, that's longer than the starting point sentence for a serious sexual assault. So that's roughly how the courts are now comparing and treating people who are taking acts of conscience. What these two people were talking about is the thing that has driven two of your former colleagues, Zach Goldsmith and Chris Skidmore, to leave the Conservative government, because they object to the current plans to max out on oil and gas against all the science. One of the ironies of this protest is the same Dartford Crossing and Dartford Tunnel was closed this month because of the dangerous weather conditions that again caused delays. And this is the real disruption. I mean, it's like a sort of inoculation, isn't it? It's we all accept the inconvenience and disruption of inoculations if it prevents a much more serious disease. Mm. We see that. And so this is minor disruption compared to the quite appalling disruption the public faces if we keep on destroying our the conditions which make the planet habitable.
Stephen Barrett, you're a barrister, you write for The Spectator. Tim Crosland has a point, doesn't he, that first of all, we do have the right to protest in this country, and secondly, giving somebody a 27-month sentence equivalent to somebody who's committed a serious sexual assault for disrupting the traffic does seem a bit draconian.
Well, let's take those two points in order. The first is a fallacy, and it began around the 1990s. And what we saw was the people who had been teenage protesters in the late 60s and early 70s got into power. And they have a very strong, firmly held political belief in the right to protest. And they have manifested a mistake that this country has absolutely this idea of a noble tradition of protest. It's just not right. I mean, we have always had quite restrictive, and at various times, quite restrictive free speech laws in this country. The Puritans disliked it so much that they had to sail away and found America because they wanted to be free. And America has a much more tolerant free speech approach than we have ever had. So it's just a bit of a sort of, it's a noble hippie fantasy by a certain generation. I've been known to, I mean, not wholly politely, but refer to them as the Adena Monsoon generation, who tend to put their feelings above all other things and think that the things that they care about are more important than anything else. But the fact is we have laws against protest and they are being enforced. If you support the rule of law, then you and democracy, then democracy makes the laws and then the rule of law enforces them. Whether they're inconvenient for you or not, the laws are there to apply equally and fairly to everyone. The second point I think is much more nuanced. And actually, I wonder if your listeners and certainly the wider public wouldn't have more to say on that. Because if you polled the public on 27 months, and I think I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, he'll only serve half of it. If you polled the public and said that's the starting point for a serious sexual offence, I'm pretty sure the public would say raise the starting point for serious sexual offences, because the public tend to want longer prison sentences than we have across the range in crime. I mean, we're broadly seen as not having in any way sort of deep punishments on crime. But the two points are very, very, very simple. No, we've always policed free speech, and I'm afraid that means inconveniencing lots of people. If you want to say things and do things, stand on bridges and close roads, well, I'm terribly sorry, you're very likely to go to prison. Actually, one of our best judges, Lord Hoffman, said, what our noble tradition is that you accept the punishment. And that's our noble tradition. So our noble tradition of the people who want to speak out and they want to commit crimes in order to get their point of view across is that they then go to prison and they accept the punishment. And that's the noble position. And
it's a slightly sort of argument of sophistry, isn't it? If you pass a law tomorrow saying that you couldn't wear a loud shirt in a built-up area, otherwise you get a 5-year mandatory sentence, we'd still be at liberty to discuss whether or not that length of sentence was justified and fitted the crime. And I take your point about sexual offences and people getting longer sentences, but effectively disrupting traffic, and don't get me wrong, I find it as annoying as everybody else. 3 years, and I also take your point that he'll only serve half of it, is extraordinary.
I mean, these are just personal political opinions. I mean, the way I'm useful on this is that I can't drive, so I actually I genuinely have no strong view on disrupting traffic or not. I walk; it doesn't bother me. But
and also, you're environmentally friendly.
Well, I like to think, you know, I mean, this is the Tom Lehrer has a very good criticism of when this all kicked off in the 60s and all these people, he criticizes them for standing up bravely and talking in favor of those things that everybody else agrees with. You know, who is actually against the environment? Can we find anybody in the country who wishes to hurt the environment? Because I don't believe they exist. So again, a lot of the Adena Monsoon generation, it's generational, this idea that their feelings matter. They do tend to pick actually quite uncontroversial causes. I mean, that I think that's a point fairly made.
Well, thank you both very much for coming on the show. I think it's a finely balanced argument.